Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, COVID-19 and the college student, how things might change. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon and welcome to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I'm your host, Bob Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, the coronavirus is already changing the landscape for literally all aspects of life, but what about for colleges? College admissions expert John Upalo is here to weigh in. Hey, John, welcome to Prudent Money.
Bob, thanks for having me. Good afternoon.
You know, John, the question that I get a lot is, today, what's going on with this pandemic, is it worse than the financial crisis? And, you know, there's no question that today, I think, is worse than the financial crisis, because really nothing is spared, and just about all is affected. You know, of course, one of the biggest investments a person or a family will make is college, and this affects the college experience in so many different ways.
Yeah, Bob, it really does. And, you know, 2008, 2009, we lived through that, but I wasn't afraid to walk outside and say hello to my neighbor or go to the grocery store and touch a basket. Now I'm carrying wipes with me and gloves. And here where I am in New York City, we can't go out now without
right.
a face mask on. So it is really different. And I have to tell you, I think that it's, on one hand, you have this emotional reaction saying, boy, it's a shame that these high school seniors who work so hard to get to this high school graduation may not have a chance to walk across a stage and then go on to a college campus and have the kind of experience that we've all dreamed about. So it really has affected our lives in every way possible. And I think it's time for lots of us to start thinking about what the future is going to look like. We know where we are today, but, you know, what are the inklings of what the future is going to hold for people like your son who's going to graduate and go on to college, and for the high school juniors who are looking ahead saying, well, wait a minute, now all of a sudden I can't take my SATs. What does this mean for me? So thanks for having me and have an opportunity to talk about this today.
You know, John, I just completely forgot that you're in New York. Before we get started on this topic, talk a little bit about what it's like.
Bob, everyone says it's surreal, and that's the word that comes to mind, to go outside and walk your dog at 10 o'clock at night and not see anybody. And when I go outside at 10 o'clock at night, I have a face mask on, or now I go to the grocery store, and we have to wait in line 6 feet apart, and they have times for elderly people, 60 and over, to go in the store, and they only let 25 people in the store at a time, and it's just something. But the one thing that does, unfortunately, sort of harken back, and I'm sorry to show my age on this, is that I remember around 9/11, the most searing thing of those few days in New York City was the siren. So you'd hear a siren and you'd just stop,
right,
and you knew where they were going. And for the last week here in New York City, when you hear a siren, you almost always know now it's a COVID patient going to the hospital. And Governor Cuomo here in New York, I think, has done an absolutely fantastic job as a leader talking about what that means. And he's telling us day after day. Today, he was very somber. Yesterday, 756 New Yorkers lost their lives to the COVID virus. Mm. So it is it is honestly chilling. It's emotional for a lot of people. No question, it clouds your judgment about what you're doing or how you protect your family. But in some ways, quite honestly, life has become very simple. It's about staying in your apartment, trying to keep as clean as you possibly can, and limiting your outdoor activity to going to the grocery store, going to the doctor if you have to, and having a little bit of exercise, but staying away from people as much as you possibly can. It's just not a very human experience. We want to be out. We want to be social, and we just can't do that right now.
Well, I can only imagine. I mean, here in Texas, obviously, we're not dealing nearly with what you guys are dealing with in New York, and it's surreal here, you know. And I just can't imagine what it's like there, where you got such an outbreak and being in a hot spot. Well, let's talk a little bit about college and how this affects college. And let's start with being a junior in high school. You know, that time where probably the juniors are thankful they're not seniors this year. But at the same time, there's probably a little bit of anxiety going on about that process of campus tours they're not taking and prepping for entrance exams. I was thinking about the schools that you can go to prepare for taking the SAT. And that's, I'm sure, obviously, that's had to shift to an online type situation, which is probably not as effective as what they would have gotten. I mean, talk about how all that, how all that you think is going to work.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe the dark humor here is that it seems that many of the colleges and some larger schools like the University of California system, Boston University, which happens to be my alma mater, and many others are saying now for this next class who will be going through the process, so the high school juniors today, that they're going to make the SATs and the ACTs test optional. So they're not putting that strain on the students that you want to go to the school. So I think the most important thing for our listeners, for everything we're going to talk about now, is to realize two things. One, we're kind of building the airplane as we're flying it. This is really changing almost day to day. So if in the past, when we've given the advice about go to the website or check a website, check a student loan servicer website or colleges that you're interested in, that's really the first place to start because some of these decisions are actually being made day to day. So for the high school juniors, you're right. The two things they worry about most are, can I go and see those schools and can I get on that campus? And second, how am I going to prepare for these exams? So a couple things there. One, absolutely correct. There's been a shift towards Zoom and online tutoring for those kinds of tests. Also, Kaplan and Khan Academy have free test prep services. Again, one of the sort of dark humors here is that many students, because they're not in school per se, they may have homework or they're taking classes, but they seem to have a lot more free time. So they may actually have more time to study for these exams. But again, if you're interested in going to Boston University or the University of California system, you may not need to actually report those scores. So the schools are trying to relieve a little bit of stress there. And that seems to be somewhat helpful. As for the tours, again, the colleges on an individual basis, they're trying to accommodate these students as best they can. The virtual tours on the websites are there. Many of the schools now will have online admissions events where you can sign up and they'll do like the before the campus tour. You might remember you go and sit in an auditorium where they tell you how wonderful the school is and how they treat everyone equally. And, you know, they make you feel really great about being there and they give you a marketing speech. They're doing that online now. And other schools are offering even live chat. So if you have direct questions. So using the technology has become really important for the schools. And that's the way they're still trying to stay connected to this junior class.
You know, I think that you said something that's so true that, you know, things are changing on a day-to-day basis, and what you would give as advice maybe 6 months ago, you can't just clearly give that as advice. And I heard someone say one time that talking about the future after this pandemic, for the best answer that you can come up with is, I don't know, because anything is purely speculative at this point. And, you know, I was thinking about, and this I saw this happen in 2008 as well, as the parents who had 529 plans fully funded set up for their college seniors and, took a pretty good hit as far as the first quarter goes. And, funding is not what it used to be. What's your advice on that?
Yeah, same thing, Bob. With the current 529 portfolios, the good news generally between 2008 and call it 2018, when we're talking about investment for college, is that there's been a lot of advancement in the 529 portfolio world, and there's been a shift over that 10-year period more toward age-based investments. So if you have a 3-year-old. They'll make sure that the age-based portfolio tracks them, just like a target fund in retirement, where say, okay, in 15 years from now, you're going to need this money for this 3-year-old. So we're going to invest more heavily in equities while she's 3. But when you get up into the middle school years, we're going to start to pare that back from equities to a little bit more conservative. And then certainly by the time they're in high school, freshman, sophomore year in high school, those age-based portfolios become much more conservative, so they're less invested in equities. And hopefully folks have taken advantage of those, because I saw some Morningstar data this morning, actually, that indicated that some of the age-based portfolios have not had as significant a reduction as you might imagine. For instance, they're not off 25% where the equity, higher equity-based portfolios would be. So the first, I think, piece of advice for folks who have students who are not juniors or seniors in high school where they're going to need the money right away is to go back and check your options. And if you have an age-based portfolio, you have a pretty good idea that you're going to be stepping away from the risk as you're getting closer to college. For the students who are juniors and seniors, the juniors, my advice, and this is personal, I'm not an investment advisor, so I'm not giving investment advice, but my personal view of this is that when you're in a market low like this and such volatility, it's really hard to time. Unless you have a strong view, you might want to stay that course, make sure you're in one of those age-based portfolios so that you can take advantage of that. For the seniors, of course, now it's a different situation. And the general advice that I would have given 6 months ago is that look forward to the next academic year, starting, call it the end of the year before, so it would have been the end of 2019 into early 2020 for this high school class, and say whatever you wanted to allocate for the first year of college, that freshman year, I would take that money now and redirect it to a money market fund or some place where there's no risk, so you lock that in. So that would have been the advice 6 months ago. That doesn't help the family that's sitting there with a portfolio today saying, okay, what do I do? And I think, I'm not giving investment advice, but it's difficult at this point to say what the answer is going to be. When you see the stock market going up and down by 2 to 3 to 10% on a daily, weekly swing, the sense is that you're not going to be able to time the market. So I wish, and you're in this business professionally, I wish there was some rule of thumb of what the right answer is. Unfortunately, there's not a right answer. I personally, in the last day or so, have been in a situation where I'm trying to raise some cash. So I saw the market was up, so I called my advisor today and said, you know what, I think I'd like to sell a bond and I want to put it in a money market fund for a little while. So again, there's no general rule, and I think we would provide a disservice to some listeners if we said, oh, this is a good time to go and cash out, or this is a good time to start investing again, because no one really knows.
Yeah, it's truly, as far as investing goes, one of the toughest predicaments to be in, because there is no blueprint for what we're dealing with. And you've already mentioned this, and of course this affects my family, is that the high school senior, what a raw deal. You know, they don't get the what goes along with the senior year. They work for 12 years and all this happens. Talk about, in your opinion, and maybe what you've heard, what is graduation going to look like? I mean, at some point, they're going to have to pull the trigger and go, can't do it, can do it, have to do it online, whatever it is.
Yes. So the colleges are in the same boat. You know, those poor kids, they're 16
years.
Oh,
yeah.
Or 17 years, or 18 for some of them. But it is a predicament, and I don't think we should make light of it. And I'm not trying to make a joke of it.
No.
Absolutely. I think the point is that the schools, again, are doing it on a case-by-case basis. And kind of to your point, I'm clouded by being in the New York City region where I don't want to walk outside and touch a doorknob. Hopefully it's not like that in every part of the country. And there may be some places where having some kind of social distancing in June will be appropriate. Sitting here in mid-April or early April, it's really hard to know what's going to be appropriate in 10 days from now, let alone 10 weeks from now. So my hope is that the virus will have worked its way through, that will have been off the top of the mountain, as Andrew Cuomo talks about here in New York, that we're at and past the peak. It's under some kind of containment where these seniors will have some graduation ceremony. If not in June, maybe they'll do it in July or August or at some point where they can come back and get their chance to walk across the stage. I know that some of the colleges are thinking about the same thing, where they've postponed the May graduation. And they said, we're going to try to find a way to celebrate this at an appropriate time. But right now, we just can't tell you when that's going to be.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. John Nupalo is my special guest. We're talking about how all this is affecting college and college life. And I'm assuming that you're keeping things pretty relevant on your website. MyCollegeCorner.com is a great place to go and kind of see what's happening and things that are changing. You know, John, let's back in here to the not the worst case scenario, but a scenario that could be the case, and that is, you know, it's not like we're going to flip the switch on or off here. And even though a lot of the media would like to believe that's going to happen, I mean, I think you first of all, you turn the economy back on, it's going to kind of come online. It might be a rough start, but it'll kind of get there at some point. But even with this pandemic, it's not like you're going to get to a point where, you know, all's clear. And it makes me wonder, have you even thought about or considered the possibility of school not ramping up until next year?
You know, Bob, I have. I've actually had some conversations with some folks in the last week or so about exactly that. You know, again, my alma mater, Boston University, they've already told the students that they're not going to have their on-campus summer classes, that they're going to do that online and remotely. And I think that this is a really profound question. And unfortunately, we're talking about things today that 25 days ago you would have said had almost a zero probability.
And that's the truth. Man, that's the truth.
But now we're saying, is it possible that schools might not be able to convene in September? And I think it would be foolish to say that it's out of the question that they won't be able to do that. I think it is in the question. But this is the really interesting, and this is an intellectual point, which we'll see how it unfolds. But so what are the high school seniors paying for? They're paying for a campus-based experience, not for a remote learning experience at any of these schools. So you're being asked, and now the schools are trying to help, but you're being asked to put your money down to save your place on May 1st. Some of the schools have extended to June 1st. Other colleges have even said, you know what, we'll take some money on June 1st, but we don't know what's going to happen with housing, so we'll have your housing deposit come in later. Back to my first point, which is if you're in this situation, I would get with the school and understand just what their requirements are going to be. But they're trying to be flexible there. But the question then becomes, like, if I'm going to a private school with a $70,000 price tag, and you're going to tell me, all right, we're not going to charge you for room and board, but we're still going to charge you the same amount for this campus-based experience that you're going to get on your computer at home, that's a really tough situation. And we don't know how that's going to work out. But, people are talking, well, it's online learning. And I think it's worth just making this little note that what most high school students today and most college students are experiencing is not an online experience. It's a remote experience. So they're using technology like Zoom or Google Hangout or one of these video conferencing apps that were not made to teach students in a classroom. And put that against the online platforms. And by those, we're talking about like Western Governors University or any of the others that are out there, Southern New Hampshire and University of Arizona and some of the other big for-profit companies, where their whole business model was to create an experience for students that was fulsome and robust so that they could come online, participate online in that experience and have a coordinated approach. What the other colleges are doing, the other 7,000 or 8,000 of them that are out there, they're just trying to get a way to get through the semester remotely. And so they're using this other technology, but it's a completely different experience. So I think there's a lot of fallout potentially coming in, and that's just at a very high level, but coming in ways and maybe profoundly that's going to completely alter the way post-secondary education is delivered to students in the next 3 to 5 years.
You know, what's interesting to me, and this is just the college Blaine's going to, that we're not really getting any communication from the university as far as how things are progressing. Are you finding that colleges are kind of being quiet and intentionally not saying anything, or do you see colleges communicating about how to adapt, what it could be like, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, my sense, Bob, is, you know, they're like ducks in the water where they're paddling like crazy underneath and trying to remain calm on top.
Right.
I think this is clearly one of those things where they don't know. I think the smaller private colleges, which were under financial stress to begin with, are really looking at this and saying, you know, is this going to be the end of our model on this particular campus? And I think, unfortunately, for some of them, that's going to happen. But the other point, and I'm on actually a board of directors for a homeowners association, and we're grappling with this right now because we have a very seasonal population. So what do we tell people about what's going to happen this summer? And there's this balance between hoping for the best and planning for the worst.
Yes.
And I think that's what the schools are doing. So their position is, until we know something, we're probably going to stay a little bit more on the quiet side than putting something out that we're going to have to change next week.
I've got about 1.5 minutes left, and I really want to get your input on this, because we've talked about taking the gap year where the seniors take a year off. Do you think that we're going to look back and go, wow, that became a real attractive option for students?
So in a minute, here's why I think not. Because a lot of students, the herd mentality, Bob. So now a lot of people are saying, oh, I'll just take a gap year. Okay, so what are you going to do? What you did previously was you'd go on a trip and travel, or you'd find some program that you really liked, or you'd get a job.
That's funny. I didn't think about that.
We talked about this earlier, and I thought, well, yeah, that's an interesting point, but what are these kids going to do?
Right.
The traditional avenues are not there. And the last part of this is, remember, we talked about colleges running a business. The college gets to tell you whether or not you can defer. So I can request a gap year. They don't have to say yes. They can say you can reapply. And if they see that their tuition, net tuition revenue is going to decrease because there are too many gap years, guess what's going to happen there? They're going to say no. So I think it would be attractive, but the more I thought about it, the less I thought that was going to be actually a way out for a lot of students.
Yeah, there's just a lot of questions, and everything's kind of on a day-to-day basis. Can't get too far ahead of yourself. I think we're going to have a lot of perspective when this is all over with, and maybe a lot of gratitude as well, hopefully a lot of gratitude. And listen, safety and prayers to you and your family.
Thank you, Bob, to you and yours as well. Best of luck. Thank you.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. John's website is mycollegecorner.com. It's just so interesting to me how this affects so many different facets of life, and things are just kind of put on hold that are normal aspects of life, and what all that means. But it's interesting is I called up John today and I said, hey, I really want to talk about how all this is affecting college and seniors in high school and juniors in high school. And we just got to talking. So there was just so much. In fact, we didn't even get to cover probably half of what we were going to talk about, because there's just so much to contemplate. But I think it is important to take it one day at a time. And that's how we should be living to begin with. One day at a time, and faith in what God's doing. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com, because we're all out of time. Until we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.